From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. State leaders say travelers to Alaska who take a test before or upon their arrival should take a second test 7 to 14 days later. That change is under the revised state mandate that goes into effect on Saturday. It says those coming into the state should minimize their contact with others until they have the results from the second test. Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink says taking one test isn't the equivalent of the 14-day self-quarantine that the state has required since late March.
We're really trying to minimize that risk as much as possible to Alaskans while opening up as much as we can.
Travelers will be given a voucher they can use at certain testing sites. Zink says the state is working to identify which sites will take the vouchers. Governor Mike Dunleavy says that the state is relying on people to work together to minimize the spread of the virus.
We have a duty, I should say, to each other to try and not impact each other with this virus if we can.
Under the revised mandate, out-of-state travelers can choose between two alternatives to the 14-day quarantine. They can either have a negative result from a test taken within 72 hours of flying, or they can combine a negative result from a test taken within 5 days before flying with a second test on arrival. Governor Mike Dunleavy described the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis as horrific in a news briefing yesterday. He also thanked Alaskans for how they have conducted themselves in protests in the state.
People absolutely have the right to protest. This is America. What occurred in Minneapolis when Mr. Floyd was killed in that police action, we all know is terrible.
Dunleavy expressed concern that protests in Alaska could spread COVID-19. He repeated advice that people at gatherings wear face masks, or stay at least 6 to 10 feet away from others. Dunleavy praised how people have acted at the protests in the state.
I can't thank Alaskans enough. While the rest of the country, many parts of it, have been roiled over this situation in which Floyd George was killed, in the manner he was killed. I don't think there's anybody that can watch that video for very long. I couldn't and not turn away and say that was horrific.
The governor said he's proud of Alaskans supporting free speech. Protesters returned to a busy Ketchikan intersection Wednesday, holding signs that read Black Lives Matter to protest racism and police brutality. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, not everyone was receptive to the vigil by Alaska Native youth.
About a half dozen people gathered Wednesday at the intersection of Tongass Avenue and Jefferson Street in Ketchikan. It's a sunny day at one of the area's busiest intersections. Teenager Rosie Daniels says quite a few motorists are honking in support of their message.
But most of the time they shake their heads and put a thumbs down or flip us off and all that kind of stuff. And cops wave. Sometimes they wave, but sometimes they don't even look at us.
She says local pushback against the protest is disheartening, considering Ketchikan's Alaska Native community, which she's a part of.
It just makes me feel uncomfortable to live in this town, because this is a Native town and we have racist people like that here, and it just doesn't make sense.
Wednesday's protest, like similar demonstrations across the country, is in part a response to the death of George Floyd. That's a black man who died at the hands of Minneapolis police officers. Video of the death, shot by bystanders, has sparked protests across the nation and world, with clashes between demonstrators and riot police in cities continuing. Here in Ketchikan, 12-year-old Isabel Morris says she's upset about racial inequality. She's also Alaska Native.
Stand up for what you believe in.
She and her friends recounted a close call the day before.
We were holding up signs and this dude came up and I got off the sidewalk for 2 seconds and he swerved and then tried to hit me.
Reports of the incident surfaced on social media. Ketchikan Police Sergeant Mike Purcell told KRBD that authorities are looking into it.
Yes, so I was able to contact somebody that may have been involved in it. So at this point, we've got an active investigation happening.
Back on Tongass Avenue, Morris says the group plans to continue to gather. A larger demonstration is planned for 5 p.m. on Saturday. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
A proposal to absorb the University of Alaska Southeast into campuses in Fairbanks or Anchorage was not well received during public testimony before the Board of Regents Tuesday night. The university system in the state is facing a budget deficit in the tens of millions and has floated a handful of ideas for remaining solvent, two of which would radically alter the programs and administrations of the system in the Southeast Alaska. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The die was cast for the University of Alaska in February of 2019 in Governor Dunleavy's first budget proposal. It included a whopping cut of $135 million to the state's university system, along with deep cuts to funding for K-12 public schools. The university was able to put the brakes on that cut by negotiating a more gradual reduction in the budget spread out over several years. The deal has left the university looking at trying to close a deficit next year of between $11 million and $36 million, with additional financial pressure coming from reduced enrollment due to the coronavirus pandemic. The main options under preliminary review right now include the expected, like more academic integration across the system and more integration of distance learning, and two significant structural changes: absorbing the University of Alaska Southeast into the operations of campuses in either Fairbanks or Anchorage, or merging all of the system's community campuses under UAS. During public testimony before the Board of Regents on June 2nd, there was significant opposition to the proposed structural changes that would end UAS as an independent entity. Lisa Bush is the director of the Sitka Sound Science Center.
Our field station brings researchers here from around the world. The University of Alaska Southeast presence in Sitka demonstrates to them the value our state puts on intellectual resources and an ability to tie their research into something beyond our small community. Closing the campus makes absolutely no sense, especially because we've spent generations acquiring equipment and building infrastructure that helps train people in jobs that Alaska needs.
Bush pointed to the strong program in fisheries technology at UAS Sitka that has buoyed the aquaculture industry in the region for several decades. City and Borough of Juneau Mayor Beth Weldon also spoke to the importance of UAS for supporting job growth. She said that the CBJ had spent $1 million to help anchor the university's School of Education in Juneau. She opposed any plan that would see UAS absorbed into another entity.
UAS is vital to the educational opportunities for young people and adults in Southeast Alaska and is key to helping young people remain in the region and in maintaining a truly highly skilled workforce, especially in the teaching and mining fields. Many adults in the area, including myself, have taken classes at UAS, either to start our careers or to finish them. UAS is also an economic driver within Juneau and elsewhere in Southeast. When our state government, employment, tourism industry, ferry system, and many defined aspects of our community and Southeast communities have been devastated, this aspect makes UAS even more important.
The Board of Regents also heard testimony from students and faculty opposing the elimination of UAS as a separate entity. Most gave passionate testimony about the impact that UAS had on their lives, perhaps none more passionate than this individual.
Madam Chair, my name is John Pugh. I'm a retired chancellor of the University of Alaska Southeast. I served as chancellor for 16 years and worked at UAS for a total of 26 years.
Pugh argued that the university system had been on the ropes financially before, but had never rolled out a top-down plan proposing such major structural changes. He urged the regents to pause and engage the university community in a search for solutions.
You have difficult decisions. You need to engage the faculty, the staff, and the students in making these decisions. You also need to engage, as Mayor Weldon said, the affected communities. When you do this, creative solutions arise. We saw that in the 80s. It will happen again 30 years later. I recommend that you broaden your review beyond the three major recommendations made by the president and engage the communities to come up with ideas for this.
Former Chancellor Pugh was referring to the transformation options presented to the Board of Regents by University President Jim Johnson. Some of those testifying before the board commented on Johnson's desire to leave the university during this crisis and moved to the University of Wisconsin, where he is the sole finalist as university president there. Johnson was described by one student as abandoning the ship. The University of Alaska Southeast has campuses in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. Registration for fall classes opened in April. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.